Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back on a Friday talking to some Green Bay Packers. What more do you possibly want in life? Welcome to the Pack-A-Day radio show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Jim Ozarski at 9:20 a.m. There's nothing better to talk this time of year than NBA trade deadline and fake trades and what the Bucks could possibly do. And that's exactly what they're going to do with Jim Ozarski at 9:20 a.m. today. So stick around for that. Right now, however, we are going to talk to the one and only Ross Uglum, PackerReport.com, Pack-A-Day podcast, including the Daily Draft, which is already kicked off and I'm super excited about. You can find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. Ross, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Andy. How are you, man?
I am fantastic. Speaking of which, we'll take a quick aside here. Speaking of that NBA trade deadline, your Chicago Bulls, who I know you're a fan of and I know you follow closely, are some pretty significant sellers at this trade deadline. And my Milwaukee Bucks may just happen to be some pretty significant buyers at the trade deadline. What ham sandwich can we give you for Zach LaVine?
Yeah, That's a good question. I'm just excited for something to happen. You know, this version of the Bulls was fun. You know, some folks know, obviously, they were the number one seed in the East before Lonzo Ball's leg exploded. And I don't know that the Lonzo, Zach, DeMar crew would have ever been good enough to win a title. But it was certainly fun for a bit. But They held on a little too long. As Packer fans, I think we learned about that with the sort of the end of the Aaron Rodgers era. But I'm excited for Chicago to kind of hit that reset button and kind of lean into whatever the next version is, because unfortunately the Zach LaVine era is not going to, I don't think, last much longer.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. It seems like they're going to be pretty significant sellers. We'll see what they can get done at the deadline. And maybe, just maybe, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls can be odd bedfellows and work something out with probably some crazy 7-team trade or something. But I'm going to be intrigued to see. It's kind of interesting that we haven't seen a little bit more yet with that trade deadline coming up on February, I think 6th is the date, if I remember correctly. February 6th. And usually get a little bit of some moves beforehand, but hopefully this weekend and coming up next week, going to be very fun from a trade deadline standpoint, which is always a very fun time of the year in the NBA. But Ross Uglum of PackerReport.com, Pack-A-Day podcast, I know we are here to primarily talk Packers, so let's talk some Packers. I want to start by asking you, Packers lose Anthony Campanelli yesterday to the Jacksonville Jaguars. How big of a deal is that for you, and what kind of loss will he be for this team?
I have kind of a hot take.
Ooh.
And that's that I'm kind of unmoved. I get that he was an up-and-coming star, and he probably was a good football coach. With that said, I'm not willing to give Anthony Campanelli credit for the consensus top linebacker in the class and Edgerrin Cooper being a good player. I think everybody kind of thought he was going to be a good player. I still thought the Packers linebackers were horrific in pass coverage. Stopping the run, they got better, right? But I think you can kind of throw out a lot of you know, different ways. Could that have been the defensive line coach? Could that just be Jeff Hafley? I don't know. And maybe I'm just being an optimist or whatever, but like I said, specifically in pass coverage, I was infuriated by the linebackers a lot. And, you know, the one thing I think people can point to is Quay's improvement over the course of the season. I still think he was playing out of position. I don't think anything about Quay screams Mike linebacker. And, you know, I think Campanile's probably a good coach, but I just think you can find that or better, hopefully, you know, somewhere out on the market. And like I said, there are still specific things, most specifically linebackers not dropping to depth and getting in breakers topped over their heads like over and over and over again that I would have hoped a linebackers coach could have covered. So I'm not happy, but I'm not sad.
I want to ask you about that, and this is maybe a you know, sort of weaving this into a different question altogether in some capacity. It very much felt like to me, and it still feel like it kind of goes underappreciated and under talked about to some extent, the significant jump that Green Bay made as a run defending team this past year. And I mean, they went from a very bad run defense to a pretty darn good run defense in 1 year under Jeff Hafley. I saw steps personally from Rashawn Gary. I thought that was his best run defense year of his career. I thought LVN took a little bit of a step. Even Devontae Wyatt, who is never going to be a great run defender, I thought he was a little bit better. And then again, I thought the linebackers playing a little bit more attacking football. But my question for you isn't even necessarily that, because I think it's easy to see that they were a better run defense team. But to some extent, when you make that big of a jump, my question almost for you is, what did it cost them? And what I mean by that is, we saw some of these defensive front players really get a lot better at run defense, but it seemed like a lot of their pass rush sort of suffered. And then to your point, with the linebackers, we saw them being more aggressive coming up and attacking, but they were also super susceptible to not getting to depth, especially off of play action and allowing some of those, like we saw how many times Ross, the middle of the field, just get absolutely nuked at times. Specifically, that Miami game is such a great example of it. But like we saw them be great at run defense. How much of that was just sort of scheme and how that they wanted to operate? And it almost felt like Jeff Hafley was saying, we have to be a better run defending team. If we can't do that, everything else is going to kind of crumble beneath it. And then how much do you just put it on like, hey, players weren't in the right position, and you know, like the linebackers here, and players just need to pass rush better? Like, where's the equilibrium there of where that kind of balances out?
Well, I do think, you know, I'm a little bit on the Justice Mosqueda bus of I don't think the pass rush coach was particularly good.
Sure.
And I thought I saw no development from Lucas Van Ness. I saw a step back, and I get it too, right? Like all the edge guys were going from the 3-4, them being 100% 2-point stance guys. I get it. Like even towards the end of the season, like Rashawn Gary was rushing from a 2-point stance. It's not like he had his hand in the dirt constantly, but they're changing schemes. So I get it. You're doing different things on the edge. I understand all of that, but I didn't see, you know, a quick transition for him or Preston Smith, obviously, who was then traded. And I didn't see that second year jump from Lucas Van Ness. I'm not willing to give up. I'm never willing to give up on a top 15 pick with the athletic traits that he has. I don't usually give up on any pass rushers until after year three. It's just, I mean, you look at the, for example, a guy that was taken in the same draft I mean, Nolan Smith of the Eagles was less productive than Van Ness as a rookie. He did nothing. Yep. And now, boom, 10.5 sacks. Like, pass rushers just something, they go at their own speed, you know, and Rashawn Gary is a great example of that. And look, there's a chance Lucas Van Ness was just a bad pick. Like, that's out there. But I'd be excited to see him get with a good coach. And that I do think really winning one-on-one battles was an issue. And you saw that with, I thought Halfley did a hell of a job where, okay, we're not winning with four. We wanted to be a rush four, drop seven team on paper with Wyatt and with the pressure that in theory we should be able to generate up the middle, adding that to a big money guy in Gary, a first round pick in Van Ness, and a wily vet like Preston Smith. I mean, I remember listening to Robert Mays on the Athletic Football Show, who's by no means a Packers homer, as Robert is a lifelong Bears fan and one of the smarter football people on the internet, in my opinion.
Yep.
Talk about this Packers pass rush group that was just going to come in waves. And they came in no waves. there were hardly even ripples. It became a situation where Edgerrin Cooper had to be this blitzing star, and Keyshawn Nixon had to come off the corner, and you know they had to get creative because they just weren't winning. And I think that was the biggest issue. My feelings on the coverage abilities of Keyshawn Nixon and Eric Stokes are well documented. But that gets married to the lack of pass rush as well. And also sending a fifth and a sixth guy puts more stress on those guys because they don't have the safety help that they would have if they were dropping seven, or they're not in the same zone where they can pass it off. Usually if you're sending five or six guys, you're in zero. You're in man-to-man coverage across the board, and that puts stress on defensive backs.
Yeah, it certainly does. We are talking again to Ross Uglum, PackerReport.com, Packaday Podcast. Find him on Twitter, at Ross Uglum. Ross, we got the talk and text line up here. We've got Brett from Eau Claire says, Andy, I just want to pass along how great of coverage Ross and all of the staff between Packaday and Packer Report do when it comes to their draft work since you are having Ross on today. So some nice words from you from Brett and Eau Claire there, Ross.
Well, thanks, Brett. We appreciate that. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, details still being sort of hammered out per another live appearance in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, but the daily draft itself is back in a big way, really starting with some Packers-y guys. You know, I sometimes get criticized, and that's fine, for being obsessive about the numbers, and it is hard to do these Packers draft because they are so particular with some of their athletic testing stuff, which, of course, we won't have until the combine, but we're really hitting some Packers fits guys right now on the daily draft. We did Gray Zabel to kick things off, who absolutely tore up the Senior Bowl. And then my guy, Jalen Royals, who I'm getting deeper and deeper into his 2023 tape because he only played seven games, I think, before a foot injury in 2024. But he is a very, very productive, thick wide receiver who's great after the catch, but also a deep threat. Kind of remind me, he's giving me, and I think I already used this comp for another receiver in this class, but he gives me like Greg Jennings vibes, which is a very, very fun thing. And that's available on the daily draft now. But yeah, we're really excited to be rocking and rolling with draft coverage. It's kind of my favorite part of the year.
Yeah, it's a really, really fun time, and I want to ask you a couple more questions about the draft. But before we get to there, I just want to ask you one more thing about the coaching changes, because you mentioned the defensive line, and you mentioned how those guys need to be better. The pass rush needs to be better. They bring in DeMarcus Covington, former defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. Can he be the guy that unlocks LVN, Devontae Wyatt, and then to an extent, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, and that entire defensive front, and makes them the pass rushing force that I think everyone was hoping that they were going to be able to become?
You'd hope so, right? Like Matthew Judon, great player, right? Like they've had guys at New England. They've done a decent enough job, especially in the post-Brady era. I mean, they haven't had a ton of team success, but it feels like that's been more offensive ineptitude, right? And that the defense sure. is at least not allowing them to get embarrassed. Now, of course, their Lord and Savior, Drake May, is in Boston. But before that, right, the Jacoby Brissett era – things of that nature. I'm just ready to see another voice in there. I think any time you can get a coach that was promoted to coordinator, you're excited about that, right? Like, he was a defensive line coach. They thought so much of him in New England, obviously worked with the greatest defensive coach of all time in Bill Belichick. And they thought enough of him to promote him to defensive coordinator. I'm at least willing to obviously give him a look on the defensive line. And I didn't. I mean, you can only pay attention to so many things, right? So it's not like I had some hot short list of the best pass rushing coaches in the NFL. So I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. But like I said, comes from the stock of the greatest defensive coach of all time. They thought enough of him for him to be a coordinator. And I'm willing to see, and just willing to get, like I said, a different voice in there. I just didn't think things went very well with Rebrovich. And really what I saw, I think Peter Bukowski, which I'm sorry for bringing up that name. But
I know. It's a rule we have, but it's unacceptable, but we'll allow it this time.
He did something on their place, the Leap, where players weren't thrilled with the Rebrovich, and I think you saw this. They weren't thrilled with the Rebrovich promotion because he was sort of a rah-rah headbutt a locker type coach, which, hey, every staff needs a guy who will go and headbutt a locker. I'm there. Like, but he wasn't particularly skilled at the technical aspects of rushing the passer. And when you are the Green Bay Packers, and by and large, I sort of agree with their theory, which is early, we draft freaks. And this is sort of a general Green Bay Packers thing, but it is definitely specific to them drafting pass rushers. If they're taking a pass rusher in the first two rounds, generally he has been an alien. I mean, Nick Perry looked like he should have been in the WWE. Lucas Van Ness is a 97th percentile athlete. Rashawn Gary is one of the top athletes ever at the defensive end position at his size. And then we're going to have to teach him how to rush the passer. Later, we'll get skilled guys like a Kingsley Anagbare, who maybe aren't as athletically gifted, but in round five, we'll take guys that are, you know, more crafty at their position. Maybe they're missing length. Maybe they're missing speed, whatever. But we'll do that. Well, when you're taking a bunch of raw space aliens, you need a technically skilled pass rush coach. And it just was very clear that Rebrovich was not that. So my hope is Covington is that and is able to really get into the nitty-gritty about hand placement, about counter moves, about leverage, about footwork, about all those things that can take a Lucas Van Ness, who is still, and then of course I mean this like in underwear at the combine, but is still one of the best athletes at the defensive line position in the league, and he is. But you got to teach him to football. And they need a defensive line coach that can teach these guys how to play football.
I could not agree with you more. And I know a friend of the show, Mike Wall, is going to be very much on that same page as well. The technical aspect is going to be super important to this. And hopefully that's something, and I think it is going to be something that Covington brings to the table, and we see that improvement from that defensive line this upcoming year. Ross, before we get you out of here, I just want to talk a little bit more Senior Bowl here. Just any names that, I know you mentioned a couple already, but that have really caught your fancy through the first couple days that you know, maybe Green Bay could have some interest in, and maybe some of these position groups that are starting to stand out to you a little bit.
Yeah, you know, obviously, it's interesting, too, because the Packers have sort of, punted's not the right word, but I had a mock draft, I think it was Pro Football Network, I did Mock Draft Monday, and they had an awesome draft, rounds like 2 through 5, whatever I was breaking down. But they took a safety in round one, the Nick Emanori from South Carolina. And I just said, why? They're developing Katano Ladapo. They like Evan Williams right now as a cheap second safety who's doing a good job, and they have a first-team All-Pro at free safety. Why would they take a safety in round one? You killed it everywhere else. And then I thought to myself, it's like the last 5 Brian Gutekunst drafts for me. I've loved everything they've done, and I've scratched my head at the first-round pick. And so I'm almost finding myself zeroing in on pick 54, which is strange. But like Jack Besh
wide receiver, TCU. I'd love it. He had such a good week. I don't even know if he's going to be there. I think Gray Zabel from North Dakota State, guard, center, guard. I think he would be an unbelievable Green Bay Packer because I think he could help you at left tackle in a total emergency, like a Lane Taylor has to play left tackle or a Josh Sitton has to play left tackle type of emergency.
Right.
I think you could get a starting center, like a Pro Bowl probably level starting center, with the ability to play left tackle if the ship is sinking. But now I don't think he's going to make it to pick 54. Same thing with the Jaden Higgins kid out of Iowa State. Did he just play his way out of pick 54? It's all these sort of like guys, you know, at 23, I think it's going to be, you know, probably the most toolsy pass rusher, or what I'd like to do is either of the guys from the rivalry game at defensive tackle, either Tyleek Williams from Ohio State or Kenneth Grant from Michigan. I would like one of those guys at 23. I think you're starting to see why the Packers, and I'm willing, right, to see that things could get better, but right, Kenny Clark gets that rare third contract, and maybe that level of play wasn't where it would be. T.J. Slayton not under contract. I would be very happy with an awesome 330-pound defensive tackle, right? And then, like I said, I'm shifting towards that pick 54 with all these Senior Bowl guys. And the corner whose name starts with an A and last name is Thomas from Florida State. I'm not trying to think Azarea. I just don't want to butcher guys' names on the radio. But he had kind of an up-and-down week, but he has the density. Like, Green Bay really likes to take corners that weigh more than 190 pounds, like almost exclusively. So some of these, like, Big 12 cornerbacks that have been defending the spread at 175 pounds, it's good in theory, but from a run defense standpoint and just from a body composition standpoint, Green Bay doesn't like super skinny cornerbacks. So then, right, I'm kind of recalibrating my thought process towards the thicker, bigger, stronger corners, and he's one of them. That's really interesting. But yeah, just like I said, sort of praying that Jaden Royals and Jack Besh and Jaden Higgins and all these wide receivers I'm sort of falling in love with in that second round where Green Bay loves to hit home runs don't go before they go, because I'm a pretty married, and you'll see this every week, folks, on Mock Draft Monday, I'm pretty married to the idea that there's going to be a top 100 wide receiver. And I think, you know, the suspension with Dobbs and just his production, and I'm not convinced he's getting a second contract. I think Watson, obviously, right now with a significant knee injury, you got a lot of questions there. Are you still, I mean, I hope so. I think so. I hope so. But are you still on the same developmental path with Dontavian Wicks? I think they're going to throw another bit of resources at that wide receiver position, and I think it's going to happen in the top 100.
Could not agree more. I definitely think they take a wide receiver in the top 100. I think they should take a receiver in the top 100, and I think they will as well. Ross, it's officially draft season. I'm so geeked up about it. I know you are as well. What do you got cooking? I know we obviously have the daily draft and the Pack-A-Day podcast, but what else do you have coming out here?
Yeah, working on the Green Bay draft guide. You know what? I'll give your listeners widely the privilege, promo code DAILY for $1 off the Green Bay draft guide. So check that out. You can look at my Twitter. You can look at Jacob Morley's Twitter. You can watch one episode of the Daily Draft. The link will be there. We got that cooking. I'll have Mock Draft Monday both on the Daily Draft on YouTube and as a post, rounding up all the mocks from around the internet and breaking down the Packers picks in those mocks. Something I've just found out. Somebody tried to, well, you know what? I'm going to take it. Somebody gave me credit for inventing Mock Draft Monday, because the first Mock Draft Monday post was in 2016. Jersey Al brought up my first Mock Draft Monday from Cheesehead TV. So somehow I've been doing this for 9 years, which not covering football. I've been doing Mock Draft Monday for 9 years. So check that out on Cheesehead TV. And, you know, eventually my top 200 will come out. My Packers big board will come out after the combine. The RAS shortlist will come out. We're just going to have you so covered for the NFL draft, both on Packer Report and, of course, on the daily draft videos.
Yeah, nobody does it quite like Ross. Make sure to give him a follow at Ross Uglum. Ross, I appreciate you a ton. We'll talk to you again soon, man. Sound good?
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Talk to you soon. We appreciate it. And always love talking draft and just Packers football with Ross. Always brings it up a whole nother level. We'll definitely do that again, certainly before draft season, but probably well before that. But when we come back, we're going to be going to those phones. So get those phone calls and texts into the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250. My question for you again, will Aaron Rodgers play this upcoming season? And if so, where? Want to talk about that a little bit. It's the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.